time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, who's about to bring us the Vatican Week in review. Joan, we're recording on the 4th of October,
and it's
a very special day.
It is a very special day because Pope Francis is in the home of St. Francis. He's in Assisi, and my understanding is that this is his very first time ever in life in Assisi. So an amazing, amazing visit. He said when they were preparing the trip that he wanted to see as many spots as he could, and any of our listeners who have been to Assisi know that there's an incredible number of basilicas of church, of many, many spots associated with St. Francis, but also with St. Clair. So, and the numbers are very interesting. I was in Assisi last weekend to kind of, you know, how's the city preparing, building of the stage, things like that. And 140,000 requests came in for tickets. Now, people were only going to get tickets for specific places, one venue only. So the Basilica or St. Clair's or Santa Maria degli Angeli or St. Rufino. But I had a taxi driver tell me they had 100,000 people there after 9/11 for a March for Peace. And he says, we didn't know where to put them. They were down below the town of Assisi, you know, in the fields. But an incredible number of people expected, and 1,200 members of the media have requested accreditation, which is more than for any of John Paul's six visits there. Huge number of media, huge number of volunteers. 50 parking lots have been arranged, extra trains for 10,000 pilgrims, 9 mega screens set up around the city, which I think is the only way that a lot of the pilgrims are going to be able to see the Pope. Because you know how the streets, the winding serpentine up and down roads of Assisi, you can be 100 feet from where the Pope's going to say Mass and not be able to see him, just the way buildings and everything are. So the best thing is to probably, if you're not in Assisi, certainly watch it all on TV. I mean, even for starters, the Pope's, I think it was his second talk of the day, he addressed the poor people that are being helped by Caritas. He was in the Vescovado, and it was an amazing talk because it was like totally off the cuff. You could hear his mind thinking, the slow way that he was forming his words and so forth. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to go into some of the expressions that he used, but I think people will be able to read those in their papers the next day. But no, it's a very historic day. The bishop, Bishop Sorrentino of that diocese where Assisi is, referred to the historic nature of the trip. And as I say, when you look at it in numbers, the people attending, the extra 80,000 city maps have been prepared, 20,000 hats, 20,000 bottles of water for emergencies, 350 new road signs set up for people to indicate where various basilicas and churches are and so forth. And 1,200 people are taking care of all these things, giving the maps out, the water, etc. So, you know, if we only spoke about one event, one highlight of the week, it would be that. Obviously, there were a few others because we are living in the age of the surprise-a-day papacy of Pope Francis. So other highlights of the week, which, again, we can only do in a superficial manner. One, of course, we cannot not mention the announcement that on Divine Mercy Sunday 2014, which is April 27th.
The Sunday after Easter each year.
The Sunday after Easter that Popes John Paul II, Blesseds John Paul II and John the 23rd will be canonized. And of course, Divine Mercy Sunday is a day that the Sunday after Easter, John Paul declared that Divine Mercy Sunday, and he died on the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday in 2005. So very meaningful there. We'll be talking a lot more about both of these men, obviously, in coming months. Interestingly enough, April 27th, Divine Mercy Sunday, also marks the 75th birthday of Cardinal Żywiec, who was John Paul's secretary and close friend for 40 years, and succeeded him as the Archbishop of Krakow in Poland. And that, as if that wasn't big enough and news enough to occupy newspapers for a week, on Tuesday we had the announcement that a chirograph, which is supposedly a handwritten document nobody writes by hand anymore,
but signed by him.
It's a document signed by the Pope, and so hand, you know, signed by hand, but a chirograph normally regards something regarding the Roman Curia. That's how it's different from an encyclical, an apostolic constitution. So with this Kyrillograph, what the Pope did was formalize this body of cardinals, now to be called the Council of Cardinals. We know he has asked 8 cardinals to help advise him in the running of the church, the running of the Roman Curia. Those cardinals held meetings 3 days this week in Rome. This was the first series. They've talked with the Pope before their October meetings. They talked with each other. Each of the cardinals from a vast geographical area, each of the cardinals also spoke to cardinals and bishops in their own geographical area or country for input. The Kyrillograph, again, now formalizes this. So, like, from now on, there will always be a council of cardinals. No set date was given for the next meeting. It was kind of like, well, maybe next spring. And frankly, it would make a lot of sense to have it in April, wouldn't it? Around the time of the canonizations, because everybody's going to be in Rome anyway for that. So, an important document. And also, this week, it was announced that another document, which has been in vigor for 35 years, the Pastor Bonus, the Apostolic Constitution on the Roman Curia, that's going to be like torn up and rewritten. The cardinals have decided it isn't just a question of retouching a few paragraphs or let's do this about councils or congregations. They are rewriting, which is a very historic thing in itself. And that was John Paul's constitution, Pastor Bonus, which means good shepherd. But just some of the, to briefly, in a couple of words, look at, other than that, at what the Pope and the cardinals have discussed. They've looked at the role of the laity within the Roman Curia. That's what all the cardinals seem to have gotten as input from their priest and their bishops. The cardinals have looked at, and again, with the Pope, except for the Wednesday audience, when he was not present at that morning meeting, because the cardinals met every morning and afternoon. The Council of Cardinals also looked at the relation of Vatican offices, called dicasteries, with the Pope and with each other. It was suggested but not amplified something about the role of a curial moderator. What does that even mean? I can't tell you today because we don't know. But more of that will probably come up. And Father Lombardi, who gave briefings to all of us on these meetings, said that another very important theme was the nature and the functions of the Secretariat of State, which should really be, quote, the Secretariat of the Pope. The word state should not give rise to any doubt. And he said, this body serves this is Father speaking, this body serves the Pope in the governance of the Universal Church. And so the meeting of the Council of Cardinals is very useful right now in view of the directions the Pope will give to the new Secretary of State, who we must say will assume his role on October 15th, Pietro Parolin. And then another important issue discussed was a possible reorganization of the administration of temporal goods. Now, there is the umbrella term APSA, APSA, refers to the administration of the patrimony of the Apostolic See. And by patrimony, among other things, it means personnel of the Holy See, and it also means the goods, the buildings that they own, churches they run, so forth, churches that they belong to, the Catholic Church, and so forth. So there might be a reorganization of APSA, though that was not the name. They said just the administration of the temporal goods. But now the cardinals didn't go too much into that because they said they didn't explore it in depth because they're awaiting the reports of the referring commissions on this matter, who will communicate the results of their work to the council. So historically, a very, very important week, the announcement of the canonizations, the formalization of the Council of Cardinals, the work they're going to do, which it's like, oh my gosh, what is the Roman Curia going to be a year from now? You and I will be talking about it, so that'll be good. And then Pope Francis's trip to the home of St. Francis.
And he's taken his council with him.
And yes, he has. He's taken the 8 cardinals. What a lovely, lovely gesture. So I'm sure they all know Assisi even better than the Holy Father. However, it's a remarkable day for the town of Assisi. He's not the first pope to go there, but he is the first pope named Francis. So a very special day for all the Assisians, as I learned how they are called.
Thank you very much, Joan.
It was a good week here.
And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She'll be back again at this same time next week, so be sure to join her then.